left floating on your own. Hoping the streets will somehow occupy your mind. You fight the hurt when you're alone. Seems as though reality dropped another life at your feet. Now that you face another day, it leaves you feeling like you'd like to take it home. Your eyes see things and say, no way. Feels like there's an enemy in everyone who loves you. Tell me,
do you really think that
the government cares about you?
No, they don't.
Get those people, ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to
next? Who you gonna turn to? Listen to me, I'm trying to tell y'all, yeah.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people.
Self-respect.
Stop it,
ghetto people.
Show some love for yourself, people. Life can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed won't ever come to be what you need. You really want inside can only come from you. The day will come when all of your pride leaves you standing around looking like, what am I gonna do? You have those feelings deep inside, a strange kind of sadness can never get used to.
Ghetto people,
ghetto people.
What are you trying to prove?
Come on, tell me, y'all.
Do you really think that
the world gives a damn about you?
Hell
no, it don't. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to
next? Who you gonna turn to? Listen, people, you better take a look at yourself, yeah. Talking to my people,
but you just don't see
what you're living
at. Living
like you're living, living like you're living,
caught up in the make-believe,
lost in your dream. Ghetto people,
stop giving up your self-respect.
Stop it,
y'all.
Talking to my people, yeah. Can take some strange turns on you. Living with the things thrown at you leaves you in the cold with a day that's not worth having. Chances on the shortfalls of greed will never come to feel what you need when what you really want inside can only come.
You are listening to African Perspectives where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe, Ashe. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you. Hope you had a great weekend, that you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, should do, must do, can do, and more importantly, will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't and it had to get done, it must get done, it will get done because you'll get it done. Ashe. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Now, we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that. There will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Kwaku. Appreciate you. I know we got some more to do because we haven't put any programs up lately, so we'll get together later, brother. Appreciate it. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Monday and Wednesday, this evening and Wednesday evening from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans. Our Story. Wes Johnson, Brother Wes Johnson, and Brother Johnny out of New Orleans from 7 to 9. On Thursdays, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursdays, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Sunday from 5 to 6 p.m., Pinckney to Pinckney, activist Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor Missions, out of Benton Harbor, Michigan's program is from 5 to 6 on Sunday. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I'll give announcements and promotions on Wednesday. I'm going to go right to the Inyasa Sim. Today is a program I want y'all to help me with. Okay? I want y'all to help me with this program today. Okay. July 13th. Those who seek temporary security rather than basic liberty deserve neither. Those who seek temporary security rather than their basic liberty deserve neither. Queen Mother Moore. Queen Mother Audrey Moore. Audley Moore. People sense it. They can feel it in the air, even though most cannot identify it or touch it. They know something is wrong, has been wrong, terribly wrong. But whatever it is, it has run its course. It has returned home, for it has nowhere else to go. It can no longer hide behind blaming others. It is afraid, and it fears reacts with terror against anyone and anything within its reach. Truth always surfaces. It cannot be hidden, or African war scholars could not know what we know. But to set us free from this terror, it must be acted upon. It must correctly be dealt with, finally and forever. We must become the force of correction, or our enslavement becomes more sophisticated and indefinite. Slavers learn from the correct Slavers learn and correct those mistakes that in the past threatened the reality with revolution from below. Embracing the wisdom of those who have earned the right to be called elders and ancestors, we must walk their path if we are to eliminate this chaos from humanity. In this quest, African warrior scholars must know we owe our people answer only to the universe and can no longer allow Europeans to spread their destructive confusion. Of this, there can be no doubt. Affirm, I am forced. I'm a force of correction. Ashe, affirm, I am a force of correction. Let me just say this here right now. This program today deals with confusion. That's why sometimes the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought is so on point. It's like, wow. This program today is going to deal with confusion. July 14th. There's a very significant difference between retreat and defeat. Once again, there is a very significant difference between retreat and defeat. George L. Jackson, the Soldat Brothers. For revolutionaries without the option of defeat, retreat is defined as a collective effort to move back from the front lines to more secure spaces in order to regroup forces, dress wounds, check morale, reassess resources, and return to the battle with more efficient and effective and victorious strategies. Defeat is defined as defeat and is only an option for those truly vanquished, those who have given up on being victorious and are willing to pretend men and womanhood and are willing to pretend manhood and womanhood. We have never been defeated and never will be defeated, no matter the conditions or distance of the retreat. Warriors with victorious vision return in force to the battlefield because there is no other reasonable option. If we recognize that Africans cannot be who we are, independent, powerful ancestors, loving, self-respecting, self-determining people in Urugu's presence, then we, as conscious, rational beings, can be reach one logical conclusion. We cannot share the same space, time, and truth with our enemies. Ashe. Affirm, I retreat only to better prepare for victory. Affirm, I retreat only to better prepare for victory. Brothers and sisters, the wisdom of the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, brothers and sisters, today's program deals with, we are confused, and there's a lot of confusion, you know. With my line I used to use all the time about confusion. We are so confused that we are confused in our confusion. That's how confused we are. But it's real. It's real. Because some years ago, this organization, and I've been trying to find it, I'm going to start looking at stuff a day before, because I'm looking at stuff, trying to do this program, I can't do it justice that way. It's haphazard. So I got to start looking the day before for information. So, because I was looking for ADOS, you know, and what they were about. I caught up with this brother named Calloway, and it's the same thing, you know, that we are not African. We are indigenous, that we were, when Europeans came here, they took us from here. You know, they took us from here. They came here and took us from here to Europe to be enslaved en masse. I haven't seen anything outside of any of the history that says that. And today, brothers and sisters, as you listen to this program, rescue me if I'm wrong. Okay? Rescue me if I'm wrong. So, yeah. Because, you know, in that Africa is not the name of Africa. It's not El Cabalon. It's Africa. You know. So I'm trying to get some help with this, and I'm asking you guys to help me, to inform me. Yeah. So. Because, you know, this stuff is crazy. It really is. This stuff is crazy. It's confusion. Just as I read it in Yasa Sim, it's confusion. And we need clarity. We need a leadership that this is the direction. This is how we're going to go. Everything outside of this, no matter who and what it is discounted. We don't listen to it. We don't pay attention to it. We don't give it any thought. We continue to move in this direction. And the direction that we are moving into is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty. For us as African people, it's Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. We can't unify if we have so many different ideas about our identity and who we are and what we are. Number one, you know, for Ados and Niskaden and Callaway not to say that we're not African is some bullshit off the jump, okay? Because all life sprang from Africa. All human life. What makes human beings different is their ability to adapt to environments that they find themselves in. There is no doubt about it. Unequivocally, there are migrations coming out of Africa that cannot be disputed. You just didn't appear here in this hemisphere, in the Western hemisphere, particularly in America, as you are saying, that you just popped up here. Even the so-called indigenous people or the aboriginal people who are here, they came here through migration. They came here walking here. They came here through migration. So the understanding is that this confusion needs to cease. Now, let me say this. If y'all want to waddle in that foolishness, go right ahead. But to me, even if we're not the majority, if the majority say, yeah, no, we ain't African, because, you know, so much of this, what this European, what this Caucasian has done is divided us. Confused us. I mean, I just saw a piece just recently. I mean, still with the colorisms, the color confrontation of the past that is still with us. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. You ever seen this movie with James Earl Jones? The Feast of All Saints. The Feast of All Saints. If you can, look the movie up, get the movie, watch it. It's the Feast of All Saints deal with New Orleans. And of course, New Orleans, historically, let me tell you how it begins. It begins with the Haitian Revolution. Right on, the Haitian Revolution, 1804. Jean-Jacques Dessalines, Toussaint Louverture, Boukman, and so many others. And, of course, they kicked the French's ass. And many of the Haïla folks, those who look most close like French, they wanted to get out. Because one of the things that they were clear on in the revolution,
You got to get rid of the traitors. You got to get rid of those who believe that they side with Europeans. They side with Caucasians. They side with Urugu. You got to eliminate them. You got to get them out. So those came to New Orleans. And of course, New Orleans had these brothels with high yellow women, if I can use that term. One use mixed race. There's no such thing as a race. There's only one race, the human race, of which we are fathers and mothers of. And that's the point. That's the definite point I'm making. That's why those who say we're not African, no, yes, you are. Humanity is African. And what makes us different is our ability to adapt to environments. And so the Africans in Haiti left during the Haitian Revolution. Some left. The ones who curried favor with Europeans, with Caucasians, they left. They came to New Orleans. Now, understand something. I've been to New Orleans so many times in various parts of it and talked to various people. Some of the, that's like they always say jokingly, but realistically, half the white folks down in New Orleans are black from a DNA standpoint. Well, when you look at DNA, we're all, you know. But the point being that these people believe they are not African. And they identify. That's just like I was talking to my lady, and we were talking about people who identify. You know, here's a good case here. Back in the old days, you wanted to look as white as possible. You wanted to pass. You wanted to go into. That's Plessy versus Ferguson. They tried to pass. When they were exposed, they got kicked off the train. They had a suit against. Now, of course, they didn't win because separate but equal, you know. But they tried to pass. I was a firefighter. I came on in affirmative action. He came on in affirmative action. His brother, twin, became a police officer, and he became a firefighter. You know, and he became a firefighter, and and you know, and the way he looked, the way he sounded, and so forth, not so much his brother, I guess. Yeah, definitely him, his brother. Definitely, I've never heard his brother speak. I've just seen pictures that I saw him when he came to the firehouse. They didn't listen to him, but you know, they both looked that way. But they had a sister who identified with being African. I saw her at Kwanzaa, you know. I saw her at Kwanzaa. And so I don't know how it happened. I think we became a conversation, and I don't know how it happened I told her I was a firefighter or something like that. I don't know. But she said her brother is a firefighter. And I said, oh, who's your brother, you know? Then she told me who it was, and I kind of chuckled because I called him. I worked with him. I called him Undercover Brother, you know, Undercover. You remember that with Eddie Griffin, Undercover Brother. And because he came on in affirmative action, so did his brother. But he identified with being white. Both of them married white women and had white children. And, of course, the whole idea, because of the ability for Europeans who had dominated and controlled information, you know, who had dominated the globe, wanted to make sure that whiteness would prevail. And so in some countries, particularly, let's look at South America. In some countries, they wanted to, after captivity was eliminated by the books, by the books. After captivity was eliminated, Argentina and many other countries, Colombia, not so much Brazil, because Brazil, there are more Africans even to this day and Africans then in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. I think they're double the number of African Americans, American Africans, you know, but Brazilian Africans, plenty. And we ain't running nothing there either. In fact, it's really pathetic. But in Argentina, I don't know if you know this, Argentina's always had this idea of the ideal looking woman. I mean, there's more plastic surgery done in Argentina probably than anywhere. Many of the women in beauty contests, Argentina, in the world pageant and Miss Universe, whatever, Argentina. And so this whole thing from the government was to expel Africans and also to have Caucasian men mate with Africans. The children would be taken from the mothers, and as they grew up, they would mate with other, basically to, you know, to eliminate the Africanness out of Argentina, you know? Yeah. And so, and for those that, you know, resisted, of course, you got eliminated, you know? And it didn't happen as effectively in Colombia that they tried, because there's a lot of Colombian Africans, you know? And so, the fact that they wanted to eliminate Africans, and that's an issue globally, but they can't. They can't. I don't know what somebody said. Well, yeah, you know, we like Bebe's kids. We like Bebe's kids. We don't die. We multiply. Yeah, and that's to some great degree true. Africans are the youngest population on the planet. That's why everybody has a clear understanding that the future is Africa. If Africa can get it, can get its present together. If Africa can get its present together, the future of the world is African. Yes. Not that I'm going to see it, and maybe some of you listeners may not, but your children and your grandchildren particularly will see it. And that's why there's this, that's why, as far as I'm concerned, a serious push for Pan-Africanism, a serious push for Africa controlling its land, its resources, building, improving, modernizing, all of this stuff on the continent of Africa. If, you know, for those American Africans who deny their Africanness want to stay here and say that we were not African, that we didn't, you know, they always talk about, well, we're the slave ships. And you constantly deny this. Well, that's on you, man. Really, that's definitely on you. Yeah. Here's a piece that my significant other sent me.
I have no African descent in my blood. I'm a Native American. So literally, I'm a Cherokee. I'm a Blackfoot. I'm a Red Indian. That's what's in my blood. A lot of people in America are indigenous people. You're not from Africa. You're American at all. My folks is not from Africa. And a lot of people in this room, folks, are from Africa.
What culture do you consider yourself a part of?
I am Cherokee Native American, born here in Virginia. No African heritage whatsoever, and no African relatives. I am all Cherokee Indian.
How come?
You probably are too.
Well, why do you say that?
Because the Indian is black, actually. It's the same people that Columbus met when he got off the boat. We are not African. This is Richmond, Virginia, where the first 20 slaves landed. There's no record of any other slaves landing here.
those 20 Africans that landed here were on a boat that was hijacked by Portuguese. The real black slaves here were Portuguese. Most of the slaves in this country were actually white, not black.
I have no African descendant in my blood. I'm a Native American. So literally, I'm a Cherokee, I'm a Blackfoot, I'm a Red-tailed Indian. That's what's in my blood. A lot of people in America is indigenous people. You're not from Africa, American at all. My folks is not from Africa. And a lot of people in this room, folks, are from Africa.
What culture do you consider yourself a part of?
I am Cherokee Native American, born here in Virginia. I have no African heritage whatsoever and no African relatives. I am all Cherokee Indian.
How come?
You probably are, too.
Well, why do you say that?
Because Cherokee, the Indian is black, actually. It's the same people that Columbus met when he got off the boat. We are not African. This is Richmond, Virginia, where the first 20 slaves landed. There's no record of any other slaves landing here. Those 20 Africans that landed here were on a boat that was hijacked by Portuguese. The real black slaves here were Portuguese. Most of the slaves in this country were actually white, not black.
Okay. Played it twice for you to make sure that you heard it clearly. The confusion that this has caused. And my contention is, if we don't agree, then you go your way, I go mine. Hopefully that what you do doesn't interfere with what I do, and vice versa. If I can't inform you enough and show you enough evidence, and you show me what you feel is evidence to the contrary, then, hey. But I'm adamant that we are African people. We're not Cabalanian. No, Cabalan is something that came afterward. You know, I believe in our scholars and our historians. That's what I believe in. That's who I've had enough admiration and love and respect for, those men and women, you know, who did the research, who've gone around the world doing the research from past times, such as J.A. Rogers and many of those historians, Carter G. Woodson. I mean, I can name many names of men who I have a high respect for. These men, a lot of these men did the research without foundation money, grant money, just like Drusilla Dungy Houston in 1926. In her book, 1926, the same year that Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week, which evolved into American African or African and American African History Month, as I say it should be, because you just need to study African history as well as American African. So, yeah. So let me find this piece by Renoko Rashidi, who's an ancestor now, is a good friend, good brother, you know. So I'm going to play this piece by Renoko Rashidi.
I haven't seen anything to indicate that just because you have a name like Blackfoot, that you are somehow descended from the original people of the Americas. Cherokee owned African slaves. A lot of people don't know that. We talk about a lot of times that we had a harmonious relationship with Native Americans, but it wasn't always like that. Some Native Americans actually were slave owners. The group of Native Americans that I have the most respect for are the Seminoles, because in Florida, people call Seminoles and African, the descendants of enslaved Africans, fought together. And we even know the names of some of them. There's a brother named John Horse there's a Native American hero named Wildcat, who is very much a champion of African people. There are people like Osceola. But I haven't seen any indication that these Native American groups, which we are claiming relationships with, are really the descendants of the first people in the Americas. In other words, to make a long story short, I think this Aboriginal thing is nonsense. I think it's anti-African. I think it's destructive to our community, and it should be nipped in the bud. And anybody who engaged in any kind of critical thinking wouldn't have any difficulty finding the fallacy of it. As a matter of fact, I even question whether it's an African thing. I think that you have white supremacist organizations that plant these seeds, even give false African identities to further split the African community. I'm a pan-Africanist. I believe in the global unity of African people. And anything that attempts to sabotage that, I'm opposed to. And so this Aboriginal indigenous nonsense, which is just that, to me is one of the worst things that's happened to our community in a very long time, and it needs to be called as such. Much of it, I think, stems from an anti-Africanism. I think that there are people in our community who would rather be called turds in a toilet than an African. I do believe that, because we've been taught to be so ashamed of Africa. And so I think that feeds this Aboriginal indigenous nonsense. And I think a lot of it is the result of a lack of critical thinking, and that people confuse the first arrivals with indigenous. People of African heritage were the first people to settle the American, the Western Hemisphere, the Western world. But there's a very different, it's very different to say that we were the first to come here than to say that we are the direct descendants of those original African people. And that's the problem.
That is a problem. That is a problem. So, you know, it's confusing. It is confusing. And like I said, what I'm trying to do is eliminate the confusion. You know, eliminate the confusion as we should by speaking truth, by backing it up. You know, I admire those African scholars. I admire John G. Jackson, Dr. Chancellor Williams. Of course, you know my affection and love for Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Francis Cress Welsing, Sharshi McIntyre, so many. Like I said, when Drusilla Dungey Houston wrote her book, The Wonderful Ethiopians of the Ancient Kushite Empire, she has a quote that I remember. Right now I couldn't find it if I wanted to. Yeah, I probably couldn't go on Google. You know, just go to Google. You know my thing. Just go to Google. You can Google it. But the quote is, she says, "We have dug up an irrefutable arsenals of facts that Harvard or Yale or even cowardly scholarship in our people can dare not refute." Then she says, "How can a leadership point a way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past? How can a leadership point the way forward that is utterly ignorant of the past?" And that's, you know, that's the deal. Many of our so-called leaders, those of the past and those even of the present, don't know our history and believe our history began in our captivity. They don't know the history of African people, the great civilizations of antiquity, of Kemet, Nubia, Punt, civilizations that were the foundations for many others, because no other civilizations is older. They're all come after. You know. So, you know, this is something that as that we have to do, family. We have to do this. It's important that we do this, you know. Because if we don't do it, you know, if we don't, man, I tell you. Hold on a second, family. Just hold for a moment, please. Thank you. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. Sometimes you got to take care of things, you know. Yeah, I know you understand that. I do. I know you understand it. Yeah. So, in the DNA, when science learned about DNA, and in fact, I watched an interesting piece on yesterday, Saturday, on Sunday morning, CBS, about this Caucasian lady who deals with DNA and traces murder scenes, cold cases. She's found many people who, one had, I guess he thought he was way past from all the crimes and murders that he had committed, you know, because he was on his last legs, looking like he was on his last leg anyway. But that's what's going to happen. He's going to spend the rest of his life in prison and die in prison, you know. But, you know, she was able to find these individuals, you know. And it's one county that has a serious cold case that child murders. She was able to find them. You got to get the DNA, though, you know. And you can get it through sometimes through relatives. Yeah. So, in charting DNA, and I know what was funny to me about when the Ancestry piece came out, students at Howard University, and of course, some brothers, you know, and they took the test, you know, but you got to go through the woman's line. You got to go through the maternal, not the paternal, the maternal. And so the tracing of the DNA kept leading back to Caucasians, you know, leading back to Caucasians. And these cats were pissed, you know. You know, I hate to say it, but this shit down there just like me, you know. You have these European DNA in your line. But all of us do, in some case, especially if you are here in this country, because of captivity, you know. And what was interesting, of course, if you remember, purely African people had no Neanderthal DNA in their system, because the Africans who left out of Africa and migrated, because that's what happened, family, once again, went into Europe, got cut off by an ice age. Now, once again, as I stated before, human beings have an ability to adapt to environments that they find themselves in. Here's a good example. When Africans left out of Africa going east, and they encountered mountains. Now, precipitation in the mountains is usually snow. It is snow. And so what happens, and of course, depending upon where you live, not too much here, but it happens here. It snows here. It hasn't snowed this past winter, but it snows. I have pictures. In fact, one time it snowed before Milwaukee had it. I had to send the pictures back laughing, you know, because here it doesn't last long. But in Milwaukee, the snow can sometimes be on the ground for quite some time. But when it's fresh, just snowed, and the next day is sunny, you are doing what? You're squinting because of the glare. The sun and the glare off the snow causes you to squint. And so the people who's losing melanin because of lack of sun and so forth, but also an adaptation for their sight, their eyes slant. Their eyes slant to deal with the glare of the sun. Of course they have stringy hair for insulation. It's just like when they got caught up in Europe. In Europe, a deep change. Stock your body, more fat, longer hair, hair that covers the back of their neck because the blood from your heart goes through your neck to your brain. And the main thing for blood is to get to your brain. So all parts of your body can function. That's why when you have a head injury, there's a lot of blood. That's why that bullshit about Trump. What a setup. Let me get back to my subject because I don't want to. Because that cat makes me sick. Man. And the people who believe his ass makes me even sicker. So these adaptations, it's just like Australia. When human beings got to, whatever how we got to Australia, New Zealand and Tasmania, there were adaptations. The air at night, because it's in the southern hemisphere. It's not on the equator. It's in the southern hemisphere. So at night, it's a little colder. And most of the people in Australia live in the southern part of Australia. Yep. So, man, let me see, where is that at? I tell you. They live in the southern part of Australia. And So the air is cooler. So their hair is stringy. It's stringy. Straight. Their hair is stringy. And their body is stocky. And their skin is melanated. I'm quite sure you've seen Aboriginal people. You know, the nose, their broad nose. The same as us. Except they have, and sometimes they have blonde hair. the island of Tasmania, New Zealand, other islands off the coast of Australia. I don't know what the original people called it, but it's ridiculous. Caucasians, take your shit. I say it's this, you know. Yeah. Oh, so I think I'm once again I mentioned I'm going about to go to a break in a moment. But let me just say this again about that movie, Feast of All Saints. Please get a chance if you can. Go to YouTube or a one of your streaming networks. Movie networks, Feast of All Saints with James Earl Jones, and check it out. It's interesting. Coming off of the Haitian Revolution and what's happening in New Orleans, had these brothels where these rich Caucasian men who had families on their plantations, but they go to the city of New Orleans and go to the brothel, and they have a place. Sometimes they set these women up. They have a child by the woman, and they set that child up to go to France to be educated and so forth. And interesting. But as I said, we know what happened. We know the evilness of the European and what he has done is divide and conquer. You know, we know what has been done. So we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, I want you to join this conversation. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm talking today about confusion. I'm talking about how confused we are as African people believing this, that, or the other. You know, I trust the science of our people. I mean, we owe, as I say many times, we owe a great debt of gratitude to Dr. Shrikanta Jop and Dr. Thelafila Obinga. Those two men proved that the ancient Kemetic people, ancient Egyptian people, were African. They were dark-skinned. They were black. They were not white. As the European and the Arab who came later, the Arab didn't come through there until the 7th century, the 600s, with the spread of Islam. That's when they came. They didn't come there in ancient times. Yes, the European, we know the story of Cleopatra. We know the story of the Greeks. We know the story that the Greeks studied in ancient Kemet, sat at our feet. Then they came back as conquerors. We know the story. Whitewashed some of the, and even more contemporary times, whitewashed some of the Medu Nature, what they called hieroglyphs. Medu Nature, which means, Medu means writings. Nature means God, the writing of the gods. We know this. Brothers and sisters, let me do this now. Take this break. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You know I love you, right?
I love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. Let's head up from the concrete, baby.
ain't no better than this.
And downs, made a lot of bad mistakes, but we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down, baby, you've always held it down, oh yeah.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go. You always stayed around.
That's right.
You stayed around.
And you've been so good to me.
And it doesn't matter. I know whatever comes our way. You know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
Just wanna give you, make your love to you,
love
take you with you on a rocket flight. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.
You're right.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Yeah. We're talking today about the confusion that is intentional, because if I sow the seeds of discourse and confusion, you're divided, and divided, you'll easily be conquered. I'll have you at each other's throat. You think that the real enemy, that's why I hate that damn, we're our own worst enemy. No, we're not. We're not an enemy. No, there's a lot of confusion, a lot of things that happen. But no, the enemy is those who are trying to eliminate you. The enemy are those who are trying to control you mentally, physically. That's the enemy. We are not each other's enemy. Because of confusion, we might be, or we might do some things to each other that we know we shouldn't, but we do because of the instilling of self-hatred. Instill into our minds self-hatred. No, we're not our own worst enemy. God, I hate that. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I see a number of you. The queue already, you know what to do. You can hit star twice and you'll get into the, you can join the conversation. Hit star twice and join the conversation. Yeah. Yeah. Trying to find something that that would definitely pertain to what we're talking about today, and I don't want to cause confusion. I want to make sure that you know what you're hearing. Now, one could argue that one could argue that these things are done because brothers and sisters really believe it. They really believe that they are not African, that they're indigenous. I mean, the fallacy or the idea of Caucasians coming here, we're here already. They came here and then they took us from here and took us to Europe. And then brought us back here as servants. I mean, they want to talk about where the slave ships at. I don't see the slave ship. The idea, that hypothesis is crazy. We don't find the slave ships. Where are all the slave ships? I think that the transportation of us, you know, and the thieving of us by Europeans coming into Africa and utilizing other Africans. Now, once again, what the European loves is that divide and conquer, having us believe that we, the real problem of our captivity is because of us, that we sold each other into that captivity. Now, of course, if I'm from one, and I hate the word tribe, but for this moment, okay, I'm Ashanti and you are Khan and we warred, I got you. And so, you know, even though our captivity amongst ourselves was, because we're still recognizing that we're of African, we may not be the same, quote, tribe. So, you know, it wasn't like that we was talking cats out. No, we maybe had them do this, that, or the other, but then we sold them for the Europeans that I have this, I have wine, I have alcohol, I have these trinkets, I have these, you know, and we sold them. And then the European took them. But if you want to look at it, like if you remember the beginning of the Roots series, they, along with some other Africans through their assistance, came into other areas, into way far away from the shore, sometime maybe, you know, 50, 100 miles inward. And there's a village, and you vamp on that village. They don't know what's going on. It's just like, I don't know, there's another good movie, Apocalypto. Apocalypto, the Mayans, South America. Great movie. Subtitled. It's subtitled. The hero is Jaguar Paw. Jaguar Paw of their village. And their village was vamped on by the Mayans to take people for the sacrifice. High up on the pyramid, and chop your head off. And it's a deep movie, very good. But the ending is even deeper, because as he makes his way back to his village to rescue his wife and son and unborn child. Well, then she's born. The child is born by the time he gets there, because she was in up to her neck in water. So easily a child could be born in water. But she does rescue. He does rescue her. But as he's being chased, because he's killed all the other ones that were hunting him down. And as he's being chased, he comes upon the shore and he sees this ship off an horizon, and the two other guys who are chasing him, they're catatonic, they're stunned. Bam, they look like, what is that? What is that? And of course, the Europeans, the Spanish more than likely, are sailing to shore, and he hightails it to get her, and they move to higher ground. But the other two are there, they're astonished. And of course, me, I'm thinking, you should kill these mothers. You just don't know. You have no idea. You should kill these. Yeah. So, give us a call at 215-490-9832 so we can discuss this. And sometimes, a lot of brothers and sisters, this is painful. You know, this is painful, but to me, it's not. It's necessary. It's necessary that we discuss this, and then deal with the reality or deal with the truth. Come to that conclusion, because the ultimately. Without any fear of contradiction, any fear of stuttering or anything, we have to go home. I'm going to talk about the Exodus. Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yes, brother.
Brother Marcus, I can hear you very well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, brother. It's like you're on the radio, you're coming through good on the internet, but on the phone it's like you're in a echo, but I can hear you, I can understand you.
Okay, good. So, thank you.
You know, brother Oshi, what you said here, you know, about confusion is a necessity, you know. They have to keep us confused, my brother. They must. It's vital. And, you know, the other day I heard a sister said this on the radio. She was talking and they were saying something about, oh, yes, you know, African people, they don't, you know, them Africans, they don't like us, you know, they don't like us. Mm-hmm. So I said, hold up now, sister. I said, hold up. You got to check yourself now because, you know, a lot of times, you know, we get confused between nationality and ethnicity.
Okay.
You see, we get confused that I said to be African has to do with your race, has to do with your physiognomy.
Yes.
You see, that's what makes us Africans. It's our ethnic group, our physiognomy, our physical characteristics. You know what I'm saying?
That's what makes
us African. You know, and I had to let the sister know. So that's what you say. There is confusion because you are an African yourself. Yeah, you were born in America. You see, you are an African that was born in America.
Right.
I am an African that was born in Jamaica. You see, but it took her a little time for her to really understand what I was saying. You know, I had to repeat it a couple of times. Say, look, think about what I'm saying before you jump to conclusion. Because I hear a lot of people say that, oh, these Africans, you know, they sold us out. They're this and that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-mm, you got to make the distinction between ethnicity and nationality. You know what I'm saying? You know, what Malcolm say, a cat born in an oven is not a biscuit.
That's right.
Still a cat. You think so? Confusion is a necessity for them to keep this system going. They keep us confused. Look, I was living in New York for many, many years. And one, we are all, a lot of African black people live in New York.
Right.
But we're so divided. You have the Bajans, and you have the Trinidadians, and you have the Bajans. You know, we are all African people, but everybody in the little group. Everybody, I'm saying that.
And see, and the thing with that, Brother Mark, is that where did the boat drop us off at? I mean, you making an issue of you being Barbadoan. You making an issue of being Jamaican, Haitian, Puerto Rican, so forth. We're all one. Africans is where the boat dropped off. You are no better than I am. You know?
Exactly.
You know? And the fact that we're at each other is a clear sign there's a manipulator in the situation, and that is the European. You know?
He keeps it going. It is an absolute necessity. You see? I even find it here in Memphis where I live. You have black people. Well, I'm from North Memphis. And I'm from South Memphis. And I'm from, you know, I'm from this food. And I'm from that. I said, hold on. This is a lot of foolishness.
Yes.
But I just said, the system, these people are master manipulators.
Mm-hmm.
They have mastered this thing, and they don't keep changing the program because I say, why should we change it? It works,
right?
They just keep it going. But I am here, Brother Oshie. I mean, I'm calling.
I know you are. I appreciate you always, Brother Marcus. Thank you, my brother. Peace to you.
Thank you. All right.
Yeah, peace to Brother Marcus. He's always listening, you know. Another listener. I ain't heard from him in a while. In fact, in my mind, I conjured you up, Brother Irv. How you doing, man? How was your weekend?
I'm doing good, Baba Oshie.
Good.
I just returned back from Jacksonville, Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
Which is my wife's grandmother turned 100 years old.
Beautiful.
And yes, and you know, going to Mississippi is like stepping back in time. I went to the Megar Evers Museum where his house, you know, where they shot him in the driveway. Mm-hmm. And that is like the spirits of our ancestors live in that place. It is interesting. It is very interesting to walk on those streets. And sometimes, Baba Oshie, I think I may be making more out of it than it is. But that's just who I am. I do believe that we all have a connection to our ancestors that we just don't explore because it's very painful, Baba Oshi. I think that's why I believe that, and I don't know what the subject may have been today because I was doing some paperwork, but I believe that integration is something that it's easier to swallow because it's easy to get along. Everybody wants to smile, happy, have a good time. But Baba Oshi, the things that we've been through and as American Africans in this country, living in someone else's culture, which is another word for saying living in someone else's house. If you really look inward, and that comes with age, I do believe that. Wisdom, age, being on this earth, some things you can read about, but some things you have to live. And being on this earth for over a half a century or more, you do get in touch with your inner self. And I know I may be going a little deeper, but I have to because when I went to Mississippi, I felt so much of our ancestors as I was walking on this ground on the blood-stained pavement that I was walking on. Because that's what this was. What our people trying to assimilate into these people. And I know when you went to the Pettus Bridge, you felt the same thing.
We're trying
to integrate into a people who don't want to integrate with you.
Right.
They don't want you here. But we're going to force this down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we get. This is what we get. We get interracial marriage. What we get is the crumbs that fall off the table. What we get is saying, you know, things like, we're going to get a seat at the table. I don't want a seat at the table. I want to build our own table.
Ashe, that's right.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
We are taking the crumbs and the things that are discarded. And the God that I serve, we take those discarded things and make those into delicacies.
That's right.
Beautiful. That's how resilient the American African is. Wherever we go, we will make a way for ourselves when we're still here. So, Baba Oshi, I wore my shirt with the three kings on it.
All right.
And one American African walked up to me and said, "That's a nice shirt, brother." I said, "You understand?" She said, I get it.
Right on.
I said, Ashe.
Right on.
So, and the others, I can't say they didn't know. I'm just saying that they were afraid to acknowledge it. And I went through the airport proudly.
I know
that's
right.
And these Caucasians. And I know they were looking. I didn't give a damn.
I know. Right on, Irv. I love it, brother. You know I love it. I love it.
Oh, yeah. So how are you, my brother? Is everything fine with you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm well. I'm glad you had a good time.
I had, you know, Baba Oshi, I'm going to, as long as I'm on this earth and as long as you are fighting for our self-determination, our liberation, our sovereignty, I'm going to do everything I can to help us get there as long as I'm on this earth and breathing.
Right on.
And hopefully once I leave, I'll leave some soldiers
who
are still in them to carry, to keep it, to pass the baton. Because let's be clear, Baba Oshi, fighting for our liberation is not like the Baptist church where, you know, the pastor dies in the pulpit and everybody fight over who owned the church. No, we pass this off to the young people. We educate them so that they understand, and we pass it off to them. I don't want to be in control of you. I want us to run this together. We are a communal people.
Mm-hmm.
We are people who understand how to live together. And if you notice, I've stayed away from the whole Donald Trump, which he wants us to talk about him every day, every second. He wants us to be and his minions. But he is trying his best to start a world war, to have chaos and confusion and people dying, and it's everybody's fault but his. But the reality is that demonic spirit is running through these Caucasians like Grant ran through Richmond. Yeah. Come on now.
Big time.
Come on now. So, and it's going to, and Baba Oshi, that what happens is they're going to implode. They're going to turn on themselves. And they're doing it now. They're going to turn on themselves because when you have a whole pot full of a nasty stew, you can't take some of it out and think the rest of it's going to be all right.
Right.
All of it's nasty.
All of it.
And if you assimilate to them and you want to run around half naked and and talking that foolishness and calling yourself the N-word, and you're gonna be caught up in that foolishness too.
Yep.
And I'm gonna stop after this, Baboshi, because I heard a African proverb that was kind of hard for me to understand, but eventually I got it. It said, when you look at the, don't get mad at the African's children you see dancing along the road, because the drummer is living in the palace. Mm. It took a minute to get that. Some of these things get complicated to me, yeah. Baba. But what they were saying was, just because black people jumping up and down acting stupid, there is a puppet. There's a puppet master. There's something that's making them mm-hmm. jump. Even if it's money or religion or whatever it is, something has been weaponized against them to have them acting the way they are. Because we, as American Africans, African peoples, are a good people. That's the only reason we were able to be colonized. We are good. We really want to get along. If I got a loaf of bread, I'd give you half of it. But the Caucasian says, no, I'm going to keep that for when we don't have nothing. But that's their mindset. And we, some of us, have taken on those traits. And that's really not us. You know, and I don't know about it. I just, when I went down there, I had an epiphany. And I really felt something, because for some reason, my inner self comes out when I'm in a sacred place, when I'm in a place.
Sure.
And I told you before, when I don't go to the beach as much, because I don't want to go to the beach with the bones of my ancestors on those shores out here in LA. So it's the same way when I went down there. I felt my ancestors there saying to me, don't forget us. Don't ever forget happened here. Never. And what is the first thing Trump said? We don't want that education. We want that history. Because he wants you to forget. We can't forget, brother. It's in us. This ain't a game. This ain't a game. Brother, you've been doing this over, 60, 70 years?
Yeah.
And this ain't a game? Mm-mm. People don't do things that long as a fad. This ain't stonewashed jeans. This is... I got some stonewashed jeans, too. Yeah. But this is a beautiful thing, man. I just want to say hi to everybody that called, Brother Lust and Brother Jay and Brother Paul and anyone else that's listening, especially the brother. We haven't heard from the brother in Arizona, in New Mexico.
Yes, and we got him man, Brother Butch. Let me see if I got him.
Brother Butch. Yeah, that brother.
Brother Butch, are you with us? Brother Butch?
I'm on the bus.
Hey, now, how you doing, Brother Butch?
He crossed my mind. Hello? Is he there?
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead. Something wrong with your phone?
He's going in.
I can't talk on the bus.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, if you
I'll call you back Wednesday.
Wednesday. All right. Okay. I look forward to hearing from you on Wednesday, brother. Peace to you. Thank you.
As do I, Brother Bush. I love hearing this brother speak, man. Full of wisdom.
Oh man.
He said he'll call back Wednesday, and I'll be here Wednesday to hear him speak.
Yep.
Because, you know, what's in your head comes out your mouth, and that brother is a he's a library, brother.
Yeah.
He's a library. He's a library. Yeah. He says some rare. And the thing about Brother Bush to me is he don't have a cut card. In other words, he's straight no chaser.
That's right.
That's what they used to say in Baltimore.
That's right.
Did I hurt your feelings? Did I hurt your feelings?
Too
bad. You should have left them at home.
Yep.
You should have left them at home.
Too damn bad.
We ain't making nice. We ain't making nice. We making right. You know, and right don't need no introduction. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're still here, because we as African people are right. We were born right. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with what we did. We didn't come to nobody's country and take them and try to enslave them, rape their children. And I can say all the bad things that they've done. You know, and they're still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I love listening to that brother, Brother Bush, Brother Marcus, Brother Love. These cats, man. And Baba Oshi, the part that gets me is that I've never physically seen these people.
Yeah,
I've seen their spirit. I feel what they're saying, but I've never physically actually sat in a room and seen them physically. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's only a few people that I have not seen. Number one is Brother Marcus, but Brother Butch came through here a few years ago.
and me and Kwaku, you know, picked him up. Had dinner.
They've impacted my life. They've impacted the way I think. They've impacted the way I think and the way I live my life. And I've never physically saw them. So let's be perfectly clear. You don't have to meet someone physically. You can connect with them in their spirit.
Mm-hmm. You know, how they are. You know what they say.
When we read Dr. Henry Clark, when we read Amos Wilson, they're no longer on this earth, but their words are so powerful. Mm-hmm. And they're still here. They're still here as far as I'm concerned. I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't sit down and have lunch with them. But, Brother Oshie, it's so good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. You too, brother. You too. I've thought about you, of course. You know, I missed you on this past Friday, and I always miss you when we have an opportunity to talk, man. And I appreciate you, Brother Irv. I really do. You're my co-host, man. You're my guy, man.
Oh, come on. Hey, look, I'm there, brother. I'm there. I was gonna come down, fly out to Atlanta and surprise you. I had too much to do, but I'll get through there.
I'll be getting through there, man. Be good to see you in Paris, my lady, hang out in L.A. Show.
Oh, bro. You know I got five bedrooms. I got five bedrooms. You come on out here. But the thing is, Baba Oshie, everything we do is trying to help our people. Everything we do is about our sovereignty. That's everything, right. Everyone that we speak to, what are we going to do? What are we doing? Who are we speaking to? Did you speak to someone? And it reminds you of the Baptist religion where they're always trying to get someone in the religion. Well, I'm always trying to get someone to see who they are, to look inward. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, know your history.
Right.
No, this didn't start yesterday. Your history didn't start on a slave ship. You speaking like, and Paul said that one time, you're speaking English and you ain't never been to England.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That worked. And those things make me, for me, all I can speak for is how it makes me feel. It makes me wonder. It makes me, you know, and we didn't get here overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ain't going to get out of it overnight. But what we can do is we can use our voice. And you have a big microphone, Baba Oshie, because a lot of people hear you worldwide.
I try my best to respect it and to do it justice and to speak truth. You know,
Baba Oshie, raise our consciousness.
The whole thing is to raise our consciousness, help us
raise it. No, wait a minute, Baba Oshie. The woman that's 100 years old, she sat on a roof for a week. Katrina?
Uh-huh.
She was in, and they took her line. You know, she never went back. They sent her to Texas, and then she ended up in Jackson, Mississippi. But she was in Katrina. They asked her about how was her school. She's 100 years old. She said, in the morning, we picked cotton. I said, what? She said, they picked cotton in the morning. And then she said, well, wasn't much school, you know. And these are the things that white people did. And she's still living. She's 100. Mm. She's a century.
Mm.
But in a right mind. In her right mind. So it was very interesting, Baba Oshie. It was just something to see and something to admire. And to be able to survive, Baba Oshie, with the way people are falling off now, every day you hear about someone, not just celebrities, but personally, people are having tough times with their health and all those types of things. And we've all had health challenges, but some people are having worse than others and some aren't being successful. Mm-hmm. But we're still here. And as long as we're here, we're going to fight for our people. And, you know, I say Burkina Faso, that whole group of African countries who have awakened and sit back and let these white folks fight each other, because Africa was here when you got here and we're going to be here when you're gone.
I say. We'll be here, brother. I say. All right, Brother Herb.
All right, Baba Oshie.
All right.
Thank you for letting me speak. Love you, man.
You too, dear brother. Yeah, Brother Herb. So whenever... give us a call at 215-490-9832. If you've been listening to the program, you know we're talking about the confusion that is caused by many of us who believe that we are not African. That somehow, just like this one cat, his thing was the fact that we've been here for so long. And maybe his family was one of the first to arrive here. To be
enslaved and then so-called emancipated, and then going through what we went through with the migrations and all the other stuff, the rights movement and so forth, and then say, no, we're not Africans. You know, we black, you know. And as the great scholar, Dr. John Henry Clark says, when you talk about a people, you must conjure up land, history, and culture. There is no Negro land. There is no black land. You know, I use the phrase about Kemet being land of the blacks, and Brother Tay Ju said, no, don't say that. It means the land that is black, the silt that forms once the Nile River overflows and it deposits black fertile earth, you know. So that's the deal with that. And I mean, but still to me, it's black. It's the black land. Yeah. It's the black land. Land of the blacks. All over the continent of Africa. And its origin was that. Yes, it's not that way today. Yes, we know of the Arabs who are in North Africa, who are in Kemet, Egypt, who are in Libya, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco. You know, we know this. You know, we know where they're at and how they got there. We know this. But by the same token, you know, the land is ours. The land is ours. Western Sahara, Mauritania, Mali, Niger. It's interesting that Burkina Faso was making the most news, but it's Niger and Mali, the Sahel, right there in that area, right there, you know, that are just really making good noise, you know, making great noise. And of course, Burkina Faso has a lot of land that can be cultivated and can help feed. And like I said, the whole of Africa, man, I mean, I'm saying to us, man, We can develop the technology to fight back the desert. You know, the largest desert in the world, the Sahara Desert. We can create the kind of oasis. Look what the Arabs did. Look at Dubai. Look at Abu Dhabi. Look what they did with the wealth that they had. No, the wealth they have, you know, and now it's a tourist attraction. Yeah, they Muslims, but shit, they don't give a damn about that. Well, I'm saying, I shouldn't say that. Yes, they do, but the bottom line is, it's about making money. It's about bringing you to there and looking all the things. It's like almost like Disneyland. You know, they want you to come there. They want you to spend money. You know, Brother Marcus.
Yeah, I'm back again, brother. You know, you said something about that desert, that Sahara Desert.
Yes.
You know, the ironic thing about that desert, the largest aquifer in the world is right under that desert, you know.
Is that right? Is that right? So the water is there, huh?
The water is there. The water is there. We can irrigate that desert.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
We have the technology to drill
yes.
and get that water. See? Yes. But, you know, I would say Africa awaits its creators. But I think the time is now, brother.
Yes, it is. I agree wholeheartedly with you, Brother Marcus. The time is now, and we must seize the time. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel it, brother. Because I'm telling you, I have been this Pan-Africanism for a minute, from in the early 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen it peak and I seen it crisp.
Okay.
Now I'm seeing it on the rise again. And
yes.
I think it's going to be a greater movement.
Yes, I agree.
It's going to be a more powerful movement. Mm-hmm. We just have to just keep on keeping on.
That's right.
That's it.
That's it, Brother Marcus. You're so correct, sir. Yeah, yes. I do too. That's my belief. That's my belief.
It's going to come to fruition. Yes, we have challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, but that's what life is. Life is filled with challenges.
Yeah.
It's not going to be an easy road.
No.
But it's a necessary road that mm-hmm. we have to, if we're going to survive. And I am convinced that our people are going to survive.
Yeah.
See?
So, hey, I look at it like this, Brother Marcus. We were the first ones here.
Exactly.
And we'll be the last ones here.
Exactly. So we have mastered survival.
Yes.
We know how to survive,
yeah.
You know. So that's it, my brother. I just had to interject that.
I'm so glad. Thank you for that, Brother Marcus. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
I did a research on the aquifer that is under the Sahara. Because,
right.
I mean, that's a key piece. That's a development all throughout northern parts of Africa. But look at all the other parts of Africa where there's, you know, the perception of Africa is jungle. No, Africa is not jungle. Africa is arid lands for farming and arid lands for all kinds of stuff. You know, yes, there's some jungle, you know. But once again, when the European does something, you know, his intent is never, as far as I'm concerned, to put a positive light on us and what Africa is.
Yes.
His intent is always, you know, to sow the seeds of discourse and doubt and you know.
Yes, they haven't even begun to scratch the surface of that wealth in Africa yet.
Yes.
They haven't begun, with all that they stole.
Yes.
They haven't begun to scratch the surface of what wealth remains in Africa. In that DRC, in that Congo.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some places in the Congo you can't even go.
Yeah.
It's so dense. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
well, that's why it upset me when Congo signed a treaty, so to speak, with the help of the United Snakes and Trump with Rwanda.
Rwanda.
You know, it just upset the hell out of me, man. And that Paul Kagame is a snake. That dude is a snake, no doubt about it.
Talk a good talk, but behind the scenes, doing nefarious things. Just like that guy in Kenya. He talks a good talk.
Yes.
But
him too,
Behind the scene. But they're being exposed, you know.
I'm going to tell you, all this old ass leadership, these cats that have been in there 30, 40, 50 years, they're older than me. They got to go. They got to go.
That's what in Cameroon, he's old as Methuselah. He can't even walk.
Yep.
Power.
So,
Whoa.
All right, Brother Marcus. Thank you once again, my man. All right. Peace, brother. Peace. Brother Jay, what's happening, Jay?
Hey, what's happening, Noshi, man? I just got a chance to tune in. So basically I'm just tuning in see how you doing.
I'm doing well. What about
good.
You? How are things going? Okay.
Oh, man, just hanging in there right now.
Okay.
Just trying to, let the creator do what he go do, man.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's all you can do.
Just
be positive.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right. That's all you can do.
So what were you talking about today?
I was talking about, confusion. How we're so damn confused that we're confused in our confusion. And that's how confused we are. You know, all this stuff about we ain't Africans, that we, like, that organization ADOS, that
Where the slave ship? There ain't no slave ships. We're indigenous to this land. Now, if you agree with that, I understand. That's okay. You know, but the reality is.
Well, you know, oh, to be honest with you, them Adolf Negroes and them FBA Negroes and all of them other groups, man, the fundamental principle is that if you have an ounce of African blood in you, you are African. It doesn't make a difference on how you got here. The reality is you were stolen from the continent and placed all over the world to be at the pearls of the Urugu to do nothing but serve him.
That's right.
And unfortunately, we don't understand that, and we get caught up in the Jamaican, the Barbadian, the right. Dominican, the what you call them.
Right.
The fundamental thing is, if you have melanin within your body, then the chances are you are African.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand that, there's really nothing I could do. I don't get caught up in that nonsense because, you know, the reality is it's really nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth of the matter, nothing gets done. That's why you haven't been able to do nothing with reparations, and your black ass ain't never going to do nothing with reparations because they got you fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
They got you cut off from each other. Y'all Negroes can't even come together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And come to a basic agreement on what y'all should ask the cracker.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you turn around, the Negro is having a meeting about reparations, and they getting up hooping and hollering, clapping, shuffling, smiling. You know what I mean? Like goddamn puppets.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's being done. I'll leave you with this. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about this. You had the Negress, as my brother calls them, a.k.a. members of whatever fraternity the hell it was, Delta or whatever, all together, you got all these Divine Nine groups and all of this, the so-called Negro intellectual muckety-mucksters, to show you the worthlessness of those Negroes. And yeah, I'm saying it, and I don't care who gets upset about it. They can't even come together collectively to build a goddamn hotel.
Mm-hmm.
All they do is give their damn money to the white man.
Well,
they can't even come together collectively
right.
and build a hotel and build a convention place.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look, I'll give you a quick example of what they could do. It's very quick. All they have to do is what Sheila Johnson did.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what she did in Virginia.
Yeah.
Bought the land.
Yeah.
Booked the space, and the people come.
Right.
Them Negroes can't even collectively come together
right.
as a non-organization, put the money together, and build the place for themselves. Get out of here. You telling me you got a numerous of organizations now. What you could do is build the spot, have your convention there, and open up shops and do all sorts of things. You just got to find the right place.
Right.
But no, that Negro don't think like that. And that's why we constantly getting a foot in the air, because
mm-hmm.
we don't think as Africans. We don't think collectively. And hey, Irv is hot as hell by what I'm saying. But tell me where it's not the truth on what I'm saying. Because the reality is they got enough money, they got enough members to make it functional year-round. And imagine the money that they would be taking out the mouth of the crack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Final statement on the matter is, until we get serious about black liberation, we always have a foot in our ass, and everyone's going to ask a question. What do we want from white folks, and what do white folks want from us? White folks want your labor, your money, and everything else they can get from your black ass for free. Sorry to have to say these things. I'm really sorry. But you got to think, all of that money they giving to these white folks to celebrate black bullshit. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, all right.
I'm
all
sorry, right, brother, but I got to tell the truth about it.
Okay, man.
All right, dear brother. Peace to you. Yeah. Brother Jay. Nah, he's right. He's right in that respect. Because all these organizations, all these professional organizations, you know, could have come together, pull their resources. I don't know if they want to do it here, Miami, Las Vegas, you know. But the amount of money that they have. Brother Ted Lusk, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Baba Oshie, and to the other guests, that was a mic drop. End it, period. That was a mic drop. So I gotta say, I have nothing to say.
I don't know
what Brother Jay has said. That's a mic drop. Send him staff.
All right, bro. You're right. All right, Brother Lusk. Ted, thank you so much, bro. Hope you had a good weekend, man.
We'll talk, Baba Oshie.
Okay.
We'll talk.
All right. Peace to you.
All right.
Peace. Yeah, he's right. It was a mic drop, brother. My brother Jay, because, you know, and that has been discussed, that we come together, pull that resource in each organization. Imagine the black firefighters, the black police officers, teachers, all organizations, American African organizations, you know, fraternal organizations, civic organizations, whatever it is, professional organizations. I remember we came together in Chicago for Bill Clinton. Yeah, exactly. I wasn't feeling it at all at that time because I hate the Clintons. But I was the vice president at the time of her organization. And we went to Chicago. So all these organizations met in Chicago. The black nurses and whatever, professional organizations. To show support for the presidency of Bill Clinton. Man. Anyway, but we needed to come together not to support any Caucasian, not to support any political party. We need to come together to support us as a people. Us as organizations that function on the behalf and for the benefit of our people. That's what would be dynamic. That we say, okay, we're going to pull our monies together. We're going to build a hotel and a convention center here. And around that, there'll be other businesses that will come through this way because they know that we'll be going having these conventions here, you know. And I think that, I mean, obviously, to hold your convention every year in the same place, and people, you know, they get tired of that. I understand that. But that's too, when you are spending the kind of money that you spend on hotel rooms, that you spend on travel and food, what you spend on the conferences, the banquets, the other luncheons and so forth. Brother, believe me. Sisters, believe me. Yes. You're spending a lot of money as an organization. You're spending a lot of money individually. And some of that money could well be served to be brought back to us. We're spending our money with ourselves, and we're building that money to do things in other areas. Maybe it's so good that now we open up another one in another city, and another one some years down the road in another city. So therefore, no, we don't need the Hilton. We don't need all these other places. We have our own. And God bless the child that's got his own. Brother Irv, you got the last word, man.
We have already won.
Brother Irving.
We have already won. And we have already won. They see it. That's why they're moving the way they are.
Brother Irv, I can't. Brother Irv, I can't understand you. Can you?
Like Brother Marcus said.
Okay.
Keep on keeping on.
Right on. Ashe. All right.
Ashe.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E. Because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants. Think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Just as Brother Marcus said, continuously after hundreds of years of European rape and pillage of our continent's resources and its people, its human resource, for all of that, and still we are going to rise. Still we are going to rise. We have it. And we don't have to look for anybody outside of us. We have it. Let us come together. Close ranks. Pull our resources and come together to build for the future of Africa and for African people. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace to you.
Great show, Baba Oshi.
Right on. Appreciate
Oshi, you're on fire.